So we're going to actually engage in what is usually the first meditative practice in the first class of an MBSR cycle or an MBCT cycle. How many of you either teach MBSR or MBCT? How many of you teach MBSR or MBCT? Raise your hands up high so I can feel you. Okay, and how many of you have taken a program like that, a mindfulness-based? Raise your hands again up high so I can. So not that many. Okay, and maybe you've read about this, or maybe you've seen it on television, or I don't know, but usually the first meditation, the formal meditation that we offer in MBSR, doesn't have to do with sitting the way we've begun, or walking. It has to do with eating. We do that for a lot of reasons, but people are usually very surprised. Meditation and eating, we don't think of them so much as connected. So what we're going to be doing is now passing around a few little paper cups like this, and each one will contain three objects that will be very familiar to you. Very, very familiar to you. And as you listen to me, you will see or hear that I am going to bend over backwards not to name them. Okay, not to call them by the name that we call them all the time. And the reason for that is that I'd like you to pretend that you are kind of a Martian scientist and you just dropped down to Earth and you're seeing these for the first time. You've never seen them before. And of course it's true, the ones that you receive, you will have never seen before. So they are new, fresh. And the invitation is to relate to them in that way. Not so much through thought, but through the direct experience of the senses. And so we will now pass them out. Please do not put them in your mouth. And you have to be very careful about this because they could get in your mouth without your even meaning for them to get in your mouth. So please be careful and mindful. And just hold on to the cup until we give you the next set of instructions. So we'll pass these around. We could use another volunteer, just somebody to thank you to help us pass them. And okay, so everybody has them? So now let's just take out one. Let's just examine it. How can we examine it? Well, we can examine it with the eyes, for one thing. So just seeing it. As if you've never seen one before, and as I said, you've certainly never seen this one before. And as you're examining it, you need more? Okay. As you're examining it, just shout out what you're seeing. Wrinkles, yellow, brown, what are you seeing? Round. Transparent. Say that loud. Crystallization. Brown. Shiny. Wrinkle, rectangular, but louder, oval, spot, Saying. Say that again. Holes, little holes. Okay. Soft. Okay, so now let's bring it up to the nose. Use a different sense. Anything? Musky? Sweet? Nothing? Freshness? Wine? Summer? Honey?
Rubber?
Okay, now, yes, let's close our eyes, take it away from the nose, and just feel it with the fingers, gently. Not to break it or crush it, but to simply know it through the sense of touch. And what are you feeling now? What are you sensing? Soft? Soggy,
sticky,
pleasant, lotta, elastic,
warm,
spongy. Okay, lovely. Just continuing to feel it. Maybe put it in the palm of your hand and weigh it. Just to know, is it heavy? Is it light? You know, just how it feels. Light, small. Okay, now let's actually take it and bring it up towards the mouth, but don't put it in the mouth. And becoming aware of what's happening in the body. Is anything happening in the mouth? If you put your mind in your mouth, is anything happening? What's happening? Salivation. Okay. So here we have a true mind-body phenomenon. This has not come into the body yet, and yet we have all sorts of glands working to secrete saliva to get ready for the process of digestion, of eating. So now, and noticing also that the hand is very skillful at bringing it right to the mouth. When, you remember when your children were little, there's a certain stage in which the food goes everywhere, all over the face, all over the floor, all over the furniture. Because it's not so easy to find the center of the mouth. And now the arm does this amazing, amazing dance of being able to bring it. And you could start from back here. And still, without looking at your arm, it knows exactly, in any number of different ways you want, to land it right in the center of the mouth. So this is itself a really remarkable capacity that we have. And so slowly now, whenever you're ready, bringing it up towards the lips and noticing how, being mindful of how the arm and the hand can bring it right here. And then seeing how it gets into the mouth. How does it get into the mouth? And don't bite down on it yet. But how did it go into the mouth?
The tongue.
The tongue received it in a certain way. Okay? That may not be true for everybody, but in your case, the tongue plays a role here. Now, we're not biting down on it, but where is it now? Do you know where it is? Okay, so be aware. We have the capacity to actually know where this object is in the mouth. Okay, that's a form of awareness. If it's on the left side, we know that it's on the left side. We don't have to think about it. We just know it. If it's on the right side, if it's in the middle. So this is a really profound capacity that we have to know the location in the mouth. And how did it get where it is? You didn't use your fingers to position it. How did it get there? Coordinated movement between lips, tongue, teeth, and cheeks. Okay, so true intelligence. We didn't read a book about how to position our food in the mouth. It knows it already. Okay, so now let's close the eyes if that's helpful for concentrating, for focusing inside mouth. You can, of course, do it with your eyes open if that's more friendly to you in some way or other. And then let's take three or four intentional bites. And then stopping. And just experience what's happening in the mouth. And continuing to slowly and mindfully chew as you bring full awareness to the moment-by-moment unfolding of your experience, whatever it is, whether that experience is pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And as you continue chewing, noticing perhaps that at a certain point what was pleasant no longer feels so pleasant. And at some point an impulse will come up to swallow. And please notice the impulse to swallow and then the whole process of swallowing whenever you're ready. You decide. And then being aware of the whole process of swallowing, experiencing it in your body. And after the swallowing has completed itself, seeing if in your mind's eye, just as yesterday we did with the pebble in the well, seeing if you can follow what's been swallowed down into your stomach. And allowing yourself to simply hold the whole body in awareness. And experiencing perhaps that your body is now containing the remnants of one raisin. And noticing how it feels in the aftermath of having eaten this very common object. How is it right now in your body? How is it right now in the mind? What's going on in the mind? And how is it right now in the heart? In the aftermath of having just eaten one raisin. and is more artificial and much more intentional and mindful way than we usually eat raisins, I'm guessing. Now, when you're ready, let's take another one, and noticing the reaching for it, the picking it out. And the observing it with the eyes and with the fingers. I notice when I look at it that aside from all the wrinkles and the fact that it's oval and golden and translucent, that there's also a little spot at one end of it that I can see very clearly, and looks a little like a belly button. And even if I were a Martian scientist, I might deduce that this object was once connected to something larger. Just the way if you find your own belly button, you could deduce or conclude, even if you didn't remember, that you were once connected to a much larger system that nurtured you. It gave you life. And as Thich Nhat Hanh likes to say, you know, when looking at an object like this, there's a lot in this object. So he might say, can you see the rain in this object? Because without rain, without water, we would not have this in our hands. And can you see the sunshine in this object? Because without sunlight, we would not have this in our hands and be able to put it in our mouth and derive nurturance from it. And can you see the earth? Because all of these elements are required in order to have this emerge. Not only that, but this didn't just magically appear in our hands. Someone had to go and get them from somewhere, in this case purchased in a store. And someone had to package them, and someone had to deliver them in large amounts, and someone had to grow them. So there is an entire chain of events that needs to happen for this to be in our hand in this moment. And so we can simply call it a raisin and take it for granted. It's actually an emerging phenomenon that once did not exist, now exists, soon is going to join with our body and soon be dissipated in the universe in a new way. And that's what nurturance is, that's what food is. And there are many, many different kinds of food. Different kinds of nurturance which go beyond what we even think of as food. So in this moment, let's just appreciate this in whatever ways you care to appreciate the relationships that are inside of this object, and all of them in relationship to the fact that it's now in your hand and about to go into your body via the mouth. And so recognizing in some way or other that this is a truly sacred act. That is absolutely essential for our survival. And when you're ready, you want to bring it up to the nose and just see if there's any kind of fragrance or aroma. Bring it towards the lips. Once again, noticing what's going on in the mouth, if anything. And when you're ready, slowly being aware of how it comes in through the mouth. How it's received, how it's positioned, where it's positioned. Maybe rolling it around a little bit with the tongue and noticing how sensitive the tongue is to the texture of the surface of this object. The wrinkles, the mountains and valleys. And then when you're ready, at your own pace, mindfully chewing and tasting. Chewing and tasting. And giving yourself plenty of time so that you don't need to be in a hurry to get someplace else. Really giving yourself over to the experience of chewing and tasting. And tasting and chewing. Moment by moment, by moment, by moment. When you're ready again, whenever that moment comes, and there will be a moment where you will want to swallow it, where the impulse to swallow it will come up. And then noticing that, and then noticing what's involved in even positioning what's left of this object so that it can be swallowed. And then once again, experiencing the whole phenomenon of swallowing and sensing in one way or another that what we have taken into the mouth and chewed and tasted has now moved into a deeper region of the body. And it's resting right here. So being aware of how it feels in the aftermath. Right now. Again, in the body itself. In the mind. And in the heart. Whatever those words mean to you or suggest. So I know many of you have a third one, but for now let's leave it to the side and let's just have a conversation about your experience. So let's just reflect for a moment about our experience and whether we've taught this exercise before or whether we've done this exercise before. Considering it. In the present moment, these raisins that you just ate, what was the experience for you? Anybody care to comment at all? Well, let's see if we can do this without microphones and just project. Now, I know that there's a wonderful echo in this room, especially if you're in the middle. Why don't you just make a sound right now? Just shout something. Can you hear it? Okay. So see if you can just say something loud enough so that everybody can hear, and we'll see if that works. Maybe it won't because of the echo. I don't know. But yes?
The first raisin was very exciting.
The first raisin was very exciting. Can you hear?
No.
No. Okay. Why don't you just stand up? Well, I'm trying to avoid going to the microphones, but would you mind standing up and just saying it loudly enough so that everybody can hear?
The first reason was very exciting. I had it in my hand, I didn't feel the muscle of it, and then when it came close to the lips, I started tasting even beyond having the saliva and being ready to eat it. I started actually tasting it and recalling past times that I've eaten this object. But when I put it in the mouth, then actually having it there was completely new. The second one, I tried not to accept. And when you touch my lips, it tickled. I didn't expect, and that was a completely new experience for me with this object that I've encountered in the past. So on both occasions it was very new and exciting. The first time I tried for it to be exciting, the second time I tried for nothing and I feel like I contained it because I was truly surprised.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Can everybody hear? Okay.
I heard from the university, your group in the CV, a mindfulness beginner, and it has a similar exercise, the range. The voice was slow, half on the So it's and for me it was very interesting because I am trying to figure out what mindfulness is. And it leads to an idea that I got is that you cultivate a certain perspective that makes you notice things that usually you don't see. And I'm wondering how something works out.
Okay, so this is one of the reasons we do the raisin exercise, is that this wondering, wanting to know what mindfulness is, and, you know, a lot of it really has to do with kind of a conceptual interest. And I think I said last night that if you just stay in the conceptual, none of us will ever figure this out. It's a different dimension of being. It's right under our noses all the time. It's no big deal. This is not the first reason you ate, even before buying the book. So it's really asking us to suspend all of the conceptual kind of attempts to understand, and instead to simply experience and let the understanding follow on its own, and trust that that might be the case. So what I'm most interested in is your reporting on how it was with one of these raisins for you. What did you notice? What did you feel? What did you experience? Anything more to say about that? Yeah, you see that you need language and you do have concepts in order to be able to say what you just said, but there's something else underneath it that is fresh, is new, is moving, and it's deeply experiential. So words can only go so far, but I can feel in the way you're saying it that this sort of reveals something to you. In the slowing down, you're actually seeing things that we so take for granted, that we so treat as ordinary, that we don't actually experience them at all. We only experience our thoughts about them. Thank you. Yes, please. Turn so that other people. Thank you. Yes, please. Yes. So that's an interesting observation, that when we pay attention in this way, experiences becomes more vivid, more intensified, to use your word. So that's interesting to note. Yes.
When I attached it with my hand, it didn't feel much exciting. I was just feeling like a regular object. And then when I put the object closer to my nose and smell it, it didn't seem very exciting. Then when I put a raisin in my mouth and started chewing it, you know, this is the most familiar thing that you do with a raisin, chew it, which is expected to be the least exciting. That was where it was most exciting for me. Because I noticed that when I started chewing it, and I started chewing really slowly and gently, the chewing process is not single-dimensional. There are many levels of chewing. And when you start biting down, you feel the resistance of the raisin, and you can bite until a certain point when the resistance is too strong before you start rupturing the surface of the raisin.
Yeah.
And then you cannot bite.
Would you mind, just as sort of be helpful if you spoke in the first person, in other words, rather than you, I, because then it's like closer to your direct experience. So you were biting down and rupturing.
The point where the stress on the surface of the raisin was maximal, and then I applied a little more force, and then the surface of the raisin just ruptured, and all this sweetness, flavor just filled my mouth, and my mouth drowned in a sense of sweetness. And then a bit more. And then I noticed the coordination between the tongue and the teeth. Because after every bite, all the bits of the raisin, they went to the side. And my tongue just inserted back to the teeth so they could make another bite. And then he said that at a certain point, we would feel maybe some kind of an unpleasantness. And we may want to swallow. And it made some kind of an expectation, right? I didn't reach this level of unpleasantness, but then I noticed that the process of swallowing also is not a single-dimensional process. And at first, I just swallowed the saliva, which was full of sweetness, and all the solid parts stayed for another round of chewing. And all the solid parts just became more liquefied as I used to bite more, and until eventually it was all liquid. The conclusion is the most exciting experiences are actually within the very daily routines that we make.
Well, thank you. Yes, all the way in the corner, and then we'll take you both, but please.
First thought that came to me was, I don't like crazy.
Okay.
And immediately it was like, who is this one? And I took identity of this scientist from Mars, which, you know, I don't know. And actually, it was, I did not want to swallow. It was like a damn fairy tale. Thank you.
So you thought you didn't like raisins, but it's more complicated, more multidimensional than that. Interesting discovery. Yes.
When I ate the second resin, and I thought of and experience all this process behind it, wholeness, you know, and then it dissolved in me. It immediately made me think about my own life and death, you know, like the complete wholeness of me, and then this will go. And it was okay.
Okay. So you could see a process of coming into being and then dissolving out of being.
Yes, and the being is a complete thing, and then just dissolve.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm impressed with the power of the impulse to swallow. So strong. The only irresistible part in this whole process to override my human.
Yeah, the irresistible, at some point it becomes irresistible to swallow, and I apologize for, in some sense, creating an expectation, because it's inevitable that that will happen in any kind of guided meditation, because you're pointing out various aspects of the possible, but trying to do it in a way that doesn't lock in the experience for you, or predetermine the experience for you. But it's interesting to inquire, if this process is so overwhelming, the process of swallowing is like an imperative at a certain point, then why? What is it that precedes that? And I was suggesting that what was pleasant changes character in the process of the chewing, so that at a certain point, maybe you've experienced it, maybe not, maybe it's not true for everybody, but that at a certain point, what was a pleasant experience actually becomes somewhat not pleasant anymore. And then the swallowing is the way of completing this process, because you no longer want to have it in your mouth. So it's just a hypothesis. I'm not saying that's what happens, but we have one more reason so we can investigate that. And this whole practice, everything about mindfulness is in the spirit of investigation. It's like when we have patients come into the stress reduction clinic, we explicitly say, you are the scientist of your own life. Nobody on the planet is as close to your experience as you are. And so, in a sense, you are in the perfect position to navigate the ups and the downs, the difficult times and the beautiful times and the in-between times and everything else, and begin to have a more healthy influence on how we move through life, on how we are in relationship to our body, to medical problems, or to, you know, stress or pain or whatever it is that's arising that we want someone else to fix or make go away. And instead we're saying, you know, if you could have had it fixed, it would have been fixed already, and you wouldn't need to be here. This is a new opportunity to sort of go beyond the fixing model altogether and recognize some of our intrinsic capacities for learning, for growing, learning from our experience. I mean, here we ate two silly raisins. And yet people are saying very profound things that really have to do with seeing things in new ways and learning from them. And it may be generalizable, because we're not doing this because we're interested in raisins. The raisin is merely an object. But as I said yesterday, and will continue to say over and over and over again, it's not the objects of attention that are of primary importance here in this process. It's the attending itself. It's the footing of the heart, in Hebrew, right? The paying of attention, the attending itself, that's most important. And when we do attend, and when we get out of our own way to a certain degree, and out of the head a little bit, and all the cognitions, which are not wrong, and they're not bad, we don't need to suppress them, but when we realize that we have more ways of experiencing the world and understanding the world than mere cognition, then new dimensions of possibility open up. And the raisin, you know, one little raisin, in a sense, teach the entire Dharma. There's a very famous poem by William Blake in English that goes, to see the world in a grain of sand, one tiny little grain of sand, see the whole world in a grain of sand. And infinity in a wild flower, hold eternity, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. So that in the tiniest little moments, in the tiniest little insignificant experiences, The whole universe lies inside. And so nothing's insignificant. And there are actually no in-between moments in our life. It seems like there are, and we can tell ourselves stories. Yes, I'm on my way to this, or I'm eating this raisin so that I can... But actually, it's just the eating. It's just the seeing. It's just the traveling. And then in the process, there's discovery. There's a richness. And people actually spoke about discovery from, I don't like raisins, and all of a sudden you discover. That's not actually true, at least for this reason. Whether we have certain expectations and they turn out not to actually be completely true. So that, can you feel that that is a source of freedom? I mean, it's actually liberation from a certain kind of oppressive imprisonment that we create for ourselves when we think things are a certain way, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because that's the only thing we'll allow ourselves to eat, or allow ourselves to see, or allow ourselves to hear. So it's actually very useful to have the first meditation in a training program on mindfulness have to do with eating. Well, first of all, because it surprises people. Second of all, because, at least in the United States, we all have a funny relationship to eating and to our bodies and weight and all of those kinds of things. So there's a lot of baggage that comes. And yet, you eat these two tiny little things and something is revealed. And whatever is revealed, it's not in the raisin. And in a very real way, we could say it's not in us either. It's in the relationship. And so what mindfulness is really about more than anything else is wise relationality. And that's something that we have enormous amount of capacity for influencing, because we may not be able to influence the outside forces in our lives very easily. That may take years or decades or generations for certain things to change in the world. That doesn't mean we should not attempt to be engaged in ways that reduce harm and increase well-being. But at the same time, we can be completely present with that experience and in some sense free to be in wise relationship to even very, very difficult circumstances without being harmed. And that's something that requires exercising this muscle of noticing how easily we can get caught in liking and disliking, or wanting and not wanting, and pushing things away that we don't want, and grasping and clinging and pursuing everything that we do want, and in the process being completely off balance all the time. And we're discovering here in these raisins an alternative to just take them on one by one and see. And the same for moments. So how many of you eat raisins like this? Or is this the usual way that you eat raisins? Show me how you usually eat raisins. See, everybody immediately just goes... Yeah, so we don't usually eat them one at a time. I mean, that almost is crazy. And so by asking people to do this, we're asking them in a certain way to step out of their usual habitual mode of functioning and see what happens. And very often people are surprised. It's just like, wow. And they'll say things like, I don't think I ever actually tasted a raisin before. Because when you do it this way, we're always on to the next experience without allowing ourselves to have this experience. So we're eating our concepts of raisin rather than the raisin.